I want to talk to you a little bit about the subject of church attendance. And I want you to give me a good fair hearing and hear, let the Word of God give it a fair hearing. We are starting to follow the same path that Europe has followed. And I talked to Brother Castle briefly. He went to him and his wife on a missions trip, and I really want to sit down with him and get more information. But they went to some European countries on this missions trip in the last week or so, the last 10 days. And he said, Europe, boy, Europe's just about gone, folks. And the idea of attending church in Europe is just a forgotten thing. It's a lost thing. You know, somebody will go to England, somebody will go to Germany, someone will go to these to European countries, and a missionary will labor for 2, 3, 4 years just to gather, you know, 15, 20 people. And the concept of church attendance is just about, has just about disappeared. And so we've got to battle against that. What we've got to do is form convictions about that. And I want you to listen to me. Church attendance to me is a Bible conviction. It's not a matter of convenience. It's not a matter of preference. It's not a take it or leave it situation. It's a matter of a Bible conviction with me. I settled it way down early in my Christian life. I know the Bible reasons that I faithfully attend the house of God. And I do have Bible reasons for it. People that want to tell you that it's a take it or leave it situation. Well, I can worship the Lord in my deer stand. I can go to my deer stand and take my Bible on a Sunday, and you heard these type of things? Have you heard these type of things? And I can read the Bible and commune with God, and I can have church in the deer stand. Well, I'm going to show you that that's absolutely not true. You cannot have church in the deer stand. And if you say, well, I can pray. Yeah, you can. You can talk to God, and he'll talk back to you. And he'll say something like this: why aren't you in church? You know, you're not going to have sweet communion with God. If you want to have communion with God, he's going to bring Holy Spirit conviction upon your life for being where you ought not be. A lot of times in opening assembly, you'll hear me say this to the young people. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of you being here. You're exactly where you ought to be every Sunday morning of your life. Hey, later on when you get older, you should still be in church. What are you doing? I'm trying to put something in their hearts. I'm trying to develop some thinking in their hearts. Well, preacher, I come most of the time. Okay, all right, we're going to look at that. What happens? I'm going to teach on this subject this morning. What happens when I decide not to come to church? That's the title of the Bible study this morning. What happens when I decide not to come to church? And I'm talking about those times when it's a personal decision. We use the term, the phrase, providentially hindered. I understand that those of us that want to be in church sometimes, honestly, are what we call providentially hindered, which means that something's happened that's completely out of our control and we simply cannot. Somebody gets sick, you know, with the flu, or somebody has a situation where maybe they attempted to come to church and they had car trouble, and by the time they got things situated, it was too late. Sometimes things just happen. You know, that's what Jesus addressed when he talked about someone that has a donkey or oxen that falls in the ditch. And there's situations like that where we're providentially hindered. But I think, watch this, that a lot of Christians are blaming things on God and just letting the slightest little thing where they honestly could work out some different situations and get to church. It's just easier to always have not a reason but an excuse not to be in the house of the Lord. Now, why are you preaching this? Well, I'm preaching this because our young couples, look at me, young couples, our young couples need to hear this. And even some of us older, if we're not careful, we just kind of get in the mindset that, you know, maybe we've reached the point of maturity where we don't need to be in every service. Yes, you do. You need to be in every single service of the church. Now, preacher, what happens? Let's say I'm at home, and the honest truth is I could get up and get ready, but man, the recliner feels comfortable, and I've had a tough week, and you know what, man alive, is it really going to hurt just to go ahead and sit here tonight and not get up and go to the house of God? Well, let me give you the 10 things that I think I would like you to consider when you're in that situation when you're tempted just to give in to circumstances that you could overcome, when maybe you're not feeling 100%, but the honest truth is you're not bad enough to truly warrant staying at home. Look right up here. I'm going to tell you, young couples, one of the things you're going to have to understand is if you've got kids, there's going to be one of them all the time that have something. All right. So what are you going to do? Every time one of the kids has a sniffle, the whole family stays home to hold the handkerchief on his nose? I'm trying to help you. We just give in too easy. And we just always got a reason. And by the way, I'm talking about Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm talking about revival services, preaching conferences, special meetings. I'm talking about, thank God, my mom and dad raised me that when the church doors are open, you know what? We are going to be walking through them by the grace of God. We're going to be walking through them. Now, if you just settle that early on in life, you know what? Then you'll be able to develop a habit of life that's going to help you. What happens when I decide not to come to church? Number one, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I disobey a direct command from God. I disobey a direct command from God. You're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, the word church in the Bible means a called out assembly. That's why the idea of, well, I don't go to church, but you got to understand I'm a member of the invisible church, the true invisible church. Well, by definition, the word church means a called out assembly. One of these days, we will be the church, the called out assembly. When Jesus says, come up hither, and we're all called out and assembled in one place, then guess what? At that point, we'll be the church. But you know what the called out assembly is? For this time, for this dispensation, if you will, it's the local New Testament church. If you're at home, you are not a part of the called out assembly. If you're in your deer stand, you're not assembling. Okay? And so what the Bible is warning us against is to be careful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, preacher, just missing one service doesn't mean I'm forsaking it. Look up here and let me give you a Bible truth. Think about this. Every Christian that at one time was faithfully attending church and now is completely out of church had that first service where they could have come and they didn't. Had that first service where they could have come and they didn't. Have you found this when it comes to obeying and disobeying the Lord? It's easier to disobey the Lord the second time and the third time a lot more than it was the first time. And if you start making excuses and reasons and you start justifying not coming and not assembling when you could have assembled, then you're opening a door. Think about that thought. Everybody that used to faithfully attend church, that's now not going anywhere, had that first time when they could have came and they wouldn't have come, could have been there and they didn't be there. So I look at this not as an option. When God says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, he's commanding us to be faithful to the assembly. Well, preacher, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I've heard this. You know, they're not mandatory. The Bible says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so the Bible gives credence to the idea that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we should be assembling, not the less we should be assembling. And so, number one, I disobey a direct command from God if I choose not to assemble when my church, my local assembly, has an assembly. Now let me have you go to Luke chapter number 4 and let me give you the second thing that happens when we decide not to go to church. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. Number one, I disobey a direct command from God. Number two, Luke 4:16, the Bible says, and he, speaking of Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Number one, I disobey a direct command from God. Number two, I fail to be like my Savior. Now, if this really is the ultimate goal, to be like Jesus, then what we need to do is take an examination of the life of Christ, and in every area we ought to strive to be like Him. The Bible says that when the God's people assembled, on the day that they assembled, you know what? Jesus was brought up and developed a habit, a custom of life, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That means He had developed a habit of life. And so Jesus was not a slacker. Jesus was not sitting home in the recliner reading the Sunday morning paper or the Sabbath morning paper while the folks were assembling. And I can't claim Christ's likeness. I can't say that I'm like Jesus Christ unless I'm faithful to the assembly, the local body of believers. I can't say that I'm like my Savior, because Jesus gave us an example here that it was His custom to be where He ought to be on the day He should be there, and we ought to follow that pattern. Let me have you go to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to give you 10 of these, so we'll pause on a few and move quickly through others so that we can get them all in. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7. The Bible says this: remember them, Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Number 3. I discourage my pastor. What happens when I decide not to come to church? Why should I talk myself out of the recliner and into the car, preacher? Because if you sit at home when you could be here, you're disobeying a direct command from God. You're failing to be like the Savior, and you discourage your pastor. Hey, preacher, pastors don't get discouraged. Well, I wish I could stand up here and give testimony to the fact. And by the way, I really try not to. I work very hard on not letting circumstance determine my happiness. And I think that's a great thing. I've preached a message where I've gotten a lot of amens, and I've preached a message where I couldn't get an amen out of the crowd, Brother Ward. And I try not to let what the people are or aren't doing or how they're responding or whether or not they're there affect me. But could I just confess something to you? I'm human. There's a lot of hours every single week that goes into the preparation of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And you know, you've worked and you've prayed over your people, and you've prayed down the church member list, and you've sought the Lord, and you've prepared something, and you have a chance to be a blessing. Folks just choose. I didn't say they couldn't come. I said they choose not to come. That's discouraging. Now listen, folks, I was a church member for a long time before I was a preacher. Okay? I always took into account the effect it would have on my pastor if I just chose not to come. And so I didn't want to discourage my pastor. I wanted to be an encouragement to him. You know, there's some people, I don't even have to look. I know they're going to be there. And if they're not, you know what? Something happened and they couldn't be there. I don't have to worry about it. You're in your place. You know what? You have no idea what just coming and sitting there does for your pastor. I've watched people in our church, and this is why I'm trying to encourage some of you young adults. You're going to have to stop letting every little thing, I'm going to say it again, cause you to keep missing church. I've watched Ruth English go through chemotherapy and hardly ever miss a church service. I've watched Bo Eichelman go through chemotherapy and hardly ever miss a church service. And about the time I want to, I don't feel like coming, and I've got something that's dragging me down a little, I think of some of these people. I watch, now we've gotten to the point where we need two people, one on each side of Mrs. Vestal, and I watch them help her get from a car to a pew, and yet, folks, how many times have you looked at that spot and she's not been there? Now, you know what? Let's get off the nonsense. Okay? I guarantee you, if it was somebody called you on the same night you decided not to go to church and say, hey, if you can get to the church house, we've got $10,000 check waiting for you, I'll bet you'd get up out of that recliner. The honest truth is this, the Bible says, is more valuable than gold and silver. And so, you know, what we've got to look at is what's keeping us there and what would motivate us to go and just lay those things aside. Now, I wanted to be, when I was a church member, one of those people that sat in my place, and when the pastor glanced out, he'd see Jerry Ross, and not just being there with a begrudged look on my face or trying to look miserable or like a martyr because I showed up, but there to support my preacher, there to amen his messages, there to add in a positive way to the personality of the church and the environment of the service, and have a smile on my face and a song on my lips, and show up and help my preacher have church. A Blessed Hope Baptist Church, look up here, and I'm going to get off this because I don't want to sound like I'm whining. But you know what? Some of you come, but you're not a whole lot of help. Every once in a while, we need to give this pep talk. You know, I'm preaching my heart out some Sunday mornings. We got visitors everywhere, and I can't get a holy grunt out of the membership. If visitors come in here, look around, you don't look excited to be here. Why should they be excited to be here? Now, think about that. You can come and you can be an encouragement, not just to the pastor, but to the congregation, and create an environment of excitement. And so I just decided I'm not going to discourage my pastor. He's worked hard. He's prayed for me. He's prepared a message. I'm going to get there to get it. Number four, Hebrews 10:25. We were already there, so let me read it again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Number four, I failed to encourage the brethren. Not only do I discourage my pastor, but I failed to encourage the brethren. See, folks, the assembly, although the preaching is premier, and the preaching, yes, it's the main reason we come, but there's other secondary reasons that are very, very important. And one of the things the Bible says is that why gives us a reason for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but it is the fact that we have a responsibility to exhort one another. I think the time before church is important. I think the time after church is important. I think handshaking time is important. I think greeting each other is important. I think stopping by and checking on people and asking about prayer requests and how are you doing, and hey, I've been praying for your dad, and hey, how's your son? I think those things are important. Hey, it's good to see you. You haven't been here in a while. Been praying for you. What a blessing. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. That's exhorting one another. Guess what? You can't do that if you're not here. You can't do that if you're not here. And so not only does your absence discourage your pastor, but your absence makes it impossible for you to fulfill your responsibility to exhort and encourage the brethren. I like the fact that this church is... Listen, I've been in the homes this week of visitors, in the last few weeks of visitors have come to this church. One of the first things I ask them is this: were you made to feel welcome? It's almost the first question I'll ask once we sit down and visit with them: were you made to feel welcome? And that's important to me. Folks, shame on us if folks come in this church and leave this church. I had a guy tell me here a while back. He said, I went and visited a church, and he said, the pastor shook my hand and one other member shook my hand. And by the way, he's attending here now. And he said, I went there several times, and people just kind of looked over at me or ignored me. And he said, you know what? When I came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, he said, man, I had to put my arm on ice when I got home because people about shook it off, you know. That ought to be the testimony of this church. That ought to be the testimony of this church. Now, let's be a friendly church. Let's go out of our way to greet people and go out of our way to make people feel needed and wanted here at the church. I'm excited to see visitors here. I really am. And I'll tell you what, I look out and I see new people, and I'm going to find some of you that I'm spotting already that are new or I haven't seen in a while. And you know what? I just like, man, I want to go get a hold of their hand. I want to make sure that they know we're glad that they're here. And but folks, listen to me. Sometimes we're real good with visitors, and we're real rotten with each other. And we're nice to visitors and mean to each other. That, yeah, so it's like a bunch of kids, you know. They'll get along with the neighbor kids, come home, bicker amongst each other, you know. So, but I don't want to fail when it comes to encouraging the brethren. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Romans chapter 10. I'll have you use your Bibles. We'll look around and get some Bible reasons. So when I'm tempted, to not come, I just go through this little mental list. Man, if I stay home, I'm going to disobey the word of God. I stay home, I'm going to fail to be like Jesus. Now, I stay home, I'm going to discourage my pastor. I'm going to fail to be there to encourage the brethren. And then Romans chapter 10, the very wonderful verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I miss the message God has prepared for me. You talk to any pastor in the world, and they'll tell you this. God will lay a message on their heart because they see a need in the church. And sometimes people say, do you prepare messages for your congregation? Do you look around and see things and preach at them? Yeah. I think that's one of the dumb... They come out sometimes with almost an accusatory, well, I think you were just talking about some of us. Yeah, I was. I don't prepare messages for Bethel or for Olive Branch or for Calvary. I prepare messages for Blessed Old Baptist Church. It's my responsibility to keep my finger on the pulse and the needs of the people. If I begin to see certain things, I'll tell you, without fail, almost without fail, sometimes the people that need the message the most, that's the ones that decide to cut out that service. And it's crazy. Now, my pastors didn't have to worry about that with me. I was going to be there. And you know what? You don't know what God has for you. This happens a lot. I'll have people. Help you out here. And I'll still meet with them. But a lot of times this happens with new Christians, but sometimes even with veteran Christians. New Christians want counsel. They have problems. They have issues. They have specialized needs. And by the way, God bless you. I understand that. I mean, I'm telling you, when you get saved, it doesn't mean all your problems go away. And you get saved, you know, you still have struggles. And sometimes you need some specialized counseling or help. And you know what? I will move heaven and earth to give you the time you need. If you'll move heaven and earth to be here Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Preacher, when can I counsel with you? Here's my first four slots. I counsel 9:30 on Sunday morning, 10:30 on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock Sunday night, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. By the way, if you can't move your schedule to come to those, don't ask me to move my schedule to come and meet with you. Because you'd be shocked how many times the things that you want me to come over here on a Tuesday and deal with you about, I covered Sunday night when you were home watching TV. No, this is good for us. That's all right. Amen. Now, I'll still meet with you. I'm going to charge you. Be $30 an hour. I'm glad to meet with you. And we'll take as much time as you want. No, I've never charged anybody, and I won't charge anybody. But sometimes I oughta. Honestly. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't do that. You know, maybe one of the reasons you're having so many of the problems that you need the extra counseling with would be taken care of if you just show up to church on a regular basis and get the answers that you need. And I found out this. Let me just say this. Brother Tom, I'm right on this. The people that come all the time don't need much counseling. If they're listening, and I'm not saying they never do. The best of the best of the church members in here sometimes go through some low valleys, and they need some help. And thank God. But it seems like it's always the ones that are the hit missers that always want to come in and take the pastor's extra time, when if you'd have just been here, you'd have got it anyway. Now, please don't take what I'm saying right here and say, oh, preacher, two or three weeks from now you have a need. Oh, I don't want to bother him. I don't want to call him. You call me. I mean that. Sometimes people say this, and I hear it a lot. And it kind of bothers me, but I want to kind of tell you also it's okay. You know, they'll say, preacher, I didn't call you because I know how busy you are. Well, shame on me if I'm not busy. Okay? Shame on me if I'm not busy. You know, I'm supposed to be busy. But you know what, folks? People come before programs. People come before everything. And if you need something, you call me. And if you'll work with me, I'll schedule. Work with my schedule and your schedule. We'll get together, and I'll give you the time you need. But you know what? If I'm going to do that, you ought to do what I'm asking you to do. Come to Sunday school. We don't have a lot of it, and I'm glad for them to come, especially new people, and they're finding their way and all this. But I don't want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to turn into one of these churches where we have, 200 in Sunday school and 350 in preaching service, where I've got 150 of our people decide that they don't need Sunday school. Hogwash. That's a mark of a church that has some immaturity. We have some trickle in between services. I'm glad for them. I'm not getting on them. They're not even here, so I'm doing good to get on them anyway. But I'm always, no, I never look back there and see some people come in and think, oh, I always think, praise God. I mean, I'm excited to see them. But that shouldn't become normal Christianity. That might be beginner stuff. That might be new convert stuff. But that shouldn't be established Christianity. And same thing on Sunday night, same thing on Wednesday night. And so don't miss the message that God has prepared for you. How about John chapter 20? Boy, I want to show you this one. I think this one's just fantastic. And this is one of the things that motivated me. I didn't want to miss. I was kind of scared to miss church for this reason. John chapter 20 and verse number 24. And this is a positive reason. But when Jesus, on the first day of the week, appeared to his disciples. And you know what? 10 of the 11 disciples that were left were present, but Thomas wasn't. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." By the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He missed church. He had a lack of faith. Okay, this was the assembly. Well, this is just them meeting in the upper room. Yeah, the assembly. First day of the week, assembled together. One of them decided for whatever reason he wasn't going to be there. Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared. By the way, Jesus is here this morning. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know, you might miss church, but Jesus doesn't. You may didn't think it's important, but tonight at 7 o'clock, Jesus will be here. Will you? Wednesday night, Jesus will be here. Will you? Okay? And so, but here's the thing. Here's the point. I risk missing what could have been a life-changing service. I mean, you never know. Folks, listen, I think every service is good and every service is profitable, but come on, there were those. You've all been in services. I hope you have. That's been life-changing services. And you know what? You can't schedule them. Sometimes God just shows up in power. And by the way, sometimes it's a life-changing service for you, and it may not be for somebody else. Maybe for somebody else, may not be for you. I think every service I've ever gone to, if I had my heart right, I was helped. But there were those times where I was like, man, this is divine. This was one of those moments of my life. This was one of those key visitations of God. And I don't ever know when that's going to happen. But when it happens, I want to be there. I don't want to be like Thomas and say, well, I don't know if I believe what happened. You know, the folks that doubt the supernatural goings on in the local assembly are the people that miss a lot. They'll say, man, you should have been there last Sunday night. They just kind of like, yeah, right. Well, they don't know because they weren't there. And so I never know where that light. Hey, I'm glad my dad saw to it that I was here every Wednesday night, because it was on a Wednesday night that I walked the aisle at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and surrendered to full-time gospel ministry. I'll go to camp sometimes, and they'll have those evening services, especially the Thursday night evening service. Man, that's the big one. And that's when people are going to... I will tell you this, the morning services, 9 o'clock services, I've watched God come down in great power. You never know. I've watched young men, young ladies surrender their life to God fully. And I've watched kids get saved in morning services at camp. And, I don't believe in this. There's important services and there's not. Well, church morning, church important, Sunday school, it's not as important. You don't know. You don't never know where God might just absolutely change your life or change one of your children's lives. Okay? But it's not going to happen if they're not here. Which brings us to the next point. I'm going to read these to you because the time's clicking, okay? But Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." I like that. Cannot be hid. Number 7, "I fail to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors." Well, my lost neighbors don't notice if I go to church or not. Yes, they do. How do you know that? Because my mom and dad would always look out the window before they were saved across the street on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, see if Jerry and Ruth Purcell's car was in the driveway. Before they ever went with them to church the first time, They wanted to see whether or not it was real in their life. Don't you tell me that they don't notice. I'm appalled at the mentality and the lack of importance that some folks place on church attendance. But I'm going to tell you something. Lost people, whether you think it's important or not, they think it's the difference between you being real and being a fake. Now, they're all looking over there in about every other service. Your car's sitting there. You know what? You try to witness to them later on, they ain't listening. They just got you pegged as another one of those convenient Christians. It's not real with them. And so I was told this, I was with Brother Comfort this week. We were talking about, a college that used to be a Bible college, no longer a Bible college. He told me this. It's more of a liberal arts department. She said, you drive through the faculty housing of that college on a Sunday night, and most of the cars will be in the parking lot or in the driveways. Come on. I like it when it gets quiet like that. Y'all think of which college it is. See me afterwards. I'll tell you. We send them off to Bible college, and they're not Bible colleges, and all that's required is they go to one service a week. I'm sending them there. Amen. I ain't sending them there. And why? Because I think it's important. Yes, okay? And lost people think it's important. You know what? I like that. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You open your mouth and declare that you're a Christian, all of a sudden everybody's starting to watch you. And they're going to see whether or not church attendance is important to you. Number 8, I fail to develop a habit of faithful church attendance in my children. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And little eyes are observing your ways. Okay, it doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth, what they want to see, what they're going to remember is what you actually did. Now, what you're doing is you're forming a habit. You're failing to develop a habit of faithful church attendance in your children. And once my mom and dad got saved, man, boom. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. In a short amount of time, we stopped asking because there was no reason to ask. We were going. Thank God for parents that didn't allow us to take a vote. What do y'all feel? Anybody? Who wants to go tonight? What? Parents come in the church house. Where's so-and-so? Oh, she didn't feel like coming this morning. I don't remember getting the opportunity to not feel like coming to church. How did I feel? Okay. Now, folks, I've had the weeping parents later on come to me when they have the adult children and they're not in church. Listen to me. They got adult children and they're not in church. I've had the weeping parents come to me. Preacher, go visit my son, my daughter. They don't go to church anymore. I've seen them weep the tears and say, well, we went through a period of time where we were out of church or we were real hit-miss in our church, and they did not develop that life pattern in their life, okay? So I failed to develop a habit of faithful church attendance in my children. Number 9, I failed to be faithful in the area of service the pastor has assigned me. Proverbs 26 says this, a faithful man who can find. You know, one of the reasons that I just made sure I was at church, because I always had a job to do when I was there. Okay? I mean, just about every service, I had something the pastor counted on me to do. Well, how do you get that? You go ask him. You bug him. Pastor, I don't want to just come and sit here. I want to serve. Okay? And so, you know, if you've got responsibilities. And by the way, let me remind all of you who have responsibilities. Woe on you if you're unfaithful. Okay? I'm not interested in having people stand up in front of our young people who are going to be hit-miss in Sunday school. Okay? You ought to be faithful. And you ought to be faithful to the duties that you've been assigned. Don't join a church so you can sit. Join a church so that you can serve and get to be a part of it. Number 10, let me give you the last one. I show everyone that church is not as important to me as it is to Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How much did Jesus love the church? He gave himself for it. He was willing to die for it. And if Jesus loved the church that much, shouldn't we love church? And so here, what happens when I decide not to come to church? I disobey a direct command from God. I fail to be like my Savior. I discourage my pastor. I fail to encourage the brethren. I miss the message God has prepared for me. I risk missing what could have been a life-changing service. I fail to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. I fail to develop a habit of faithful church attendance in my children. I fail to be faithful in the area of service the pastor has assigned me. I show everyone that church is not as important to me as it is to Christ. I don't know about you, but if those 10 reasons don't get you here every time the doors are open, unless you're providentially hindered, I don't know what to do to help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd allow this to be something that we develop in our lives as a conviction of our life. Dear God, that we're going to faithfully attend the house of God. Bless the service that will follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.